Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to be here on this Tuesday morning. Some things are changing for me on my end, so I'm doing some live broadcasting more than I have in the past, but I've got a trip to California in a couple of days, some of the computer issues that happened, so here we are live on Tuesday morning. I have a word for you and a prayer as we kick off our day today. I believe that if we'll give God first things, something marvelous takes place. Something unusual can happen when you put him first. I remember the story of the king in the Old Testament that sought the doctors or the physicians or the wise men of his nation first, and he found judgment in the fact that he did that. So we need to seek the Lord first. I love the Psalms when it talks about arising early, seeking God early. I have a verse I want to read to you, and then we'll kind of talk about the subject today. So you think, so you say you want to be like Jesus. Now, I've sung that song that I made mention of, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I want is to be like him. All through life's journey from earth to glory, all I want is to be like him. Well, we are. It's not that we can be or we hope to be. Or someday, if we really work hard, or if we're really spiritual, somehow we'll be like Jesus. But he has made us into his image. That's the miracle. That's the mystery, and that's the wonder of what we refer to as salvation. To be saved is not just to come out of sin into the church, and we now we are Christians. No, to be born again is to be birthed again. Now, Nicodemus couldn't grasp it in the natural mind, could he? He asked Jesus, whoa, wait a minute. Does that mean I'm going to go back into my mother's womb and be birthed again? No, this is a spiritual experience. Of course, we know that. But I want to just talk just a little bit again today about our marvelous walk, life, journey, experience, creative life that we do have called Christianity, or being like Jesus. Now, I realize there's things Jesus did on this earth that I would love to reproduce or duplicate, replicate. And in some cases we have, and we do, and I have. I've healed the sick. Now I say I've healed the sick. Of course, we know the Holy Spirit, Jesus, has done the work, but we've laid hands on the sick, and we've preached the gospel, and we've seen people come to Christ. That's the greatest miracle. I know that. And that's certainly, I would never want to come across like, wow, healings are more marvelous or greater than anything else. No. Healings are really the byproduct of the life of God. It's the extra things that come along with Christ are the releases and the healings and the prosperity of life. Not just the prosperity of money or things, but life begins to be full of things that are just amazingly surprising. How about that for two words stretched together in the morning this early? Well, I wanted to drop these thoughts in your heart today. Let me read for you some of my favorite scripture, one of my favorite scriptures out of Ephesians, the third chapter and the 16th verse. Now, this is in the Mirror Bible, the Mirror Bible. It's that paraphrased translation. I desire for you to realize what the Father has always envisioned for you. I desire for you to realize what the Father has always envisioned for you, so that you may know the magnitude of his intent and be dynamically reinforced in your inner being by the Spirit of God. Now, what was talking about God, you know, there's no before and after. He's always there, and he's always thinking the same thoughts. But what did God envision when he spoke life into Adam? What did God envision? That means he had it in his mind. He had it in his sight. He had it in his thinking. This is what I am creating. I'm creating this. That's when you go out into the shop, some of you men or you ladies. Now, I know you ladies can go to the shop, but traditionally men go to the shop. And if you ladies want to create something in your house, something in your life, you envision, you have a picture of it in your mind, don't you? And you build that item, or you create that structure, or you put together that dessert or that meal that you're making. You put it together with something in your mind. That's what God has done when he created us. You and I were not created to be hockey pucks of life, kicked back and forth by the enemy. And a lot of Christians, I'm not going to pick on the sinners, I'll pick on the Christians today. A lot of Christians have this thought in mind that it's a soccer game, a football game. God's on one end and the devil's on the other. And the whistle blows and the team comes out and we duke it out every day. And some days we win and some days we don't. Come on. We have won one time. The cross did the work and we have won. And he has conquered and he has put down and bound down. It's not good English, but he is put in bondage by the word of God and by the power of the cross and by the blood of Christ. He has put the straps on and the constraints on the enemy. Now, you say, but wait a minute. I had a bad day. I had a bad thought. I had a wreck. I had lost my job. I got sick. Isn't that the work of the enemy? Well, the enemy does work, but I'm convinced by God's word that you and I are the trigger in all these things that come along our way. Now, does that mean it's your fault? I'm a bad person now and I failed God because I had a bad day or an accident or I got sick or I lost my job? No. We are to fight the good fight of faith, not the good fight of the flesh. He says we don't wrestle flesh and blood, so we're not dealing with natural terms. It doesn't mean we're not dealing or wrestling or fighting with our neighbor, flesh and blood. And that's part of it. I know that. We're not looking at our neighbor or someone that's coming against us in some evil way. That's not the problem. The problem, of course, is the spirit behind that neighbor. So we're not wrestling flesh and blood, but we're also not dealing in natural warfare. So our warfare is in the spirit. Therefore, we have already won. Now, what do? Do we just sit back and say, well, I've won, I'm going to sleep? No. We contend, we stand, we pray, we intercede, we stand on the name of the Lord, the word of the Lord and the name of Jesus. Those things are consistent. We don't change that the contest of faith. It's always there, but the battle is won. We go into the battle knowing we've won. That's the amazing thing. It's almost like cheating. We won before the game starts. How does that work? Well, it works because we know the referee, we know the coach, we know the owner of the stadium, we know who owns the ball. We win. Well, I just wanted to encourage you today. So you say you want to be like Jesus? You are. You are like Jesus. Okay, preacher. How's that work? I don't feel like Jesus. I am more and more convinced in my walk with Christ that I have to have the mind of Christ and I have to put on the garments of Christ, helmet of salvation, robe of righteousness, shield of faith, all those things that he's described. And that is almost a dress up on a daily basis. Paul said he died daily. Well, that was a sacrificial attitude he had to his life. He didn't go out and whip himself or cut himself or, you know, harm himself daily. It was a sacrifice of knowing he had submitted to the will of God and to the ways of God and to the power of God. So you say you want to be like Jesus? You are. He made you in his image, and he gave you his name. He gave you his life. The life of Christ is flowing through you now. It's so amazing that Paul said it's beyond our imagination. It's exceedingly, I love the amplified adjectives. It's exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can ask or think. So here's the test. Think real hard. Imagine real hard. Till the steam comes out your ears. And then it's beyond that. What God has done, who you are in Christ, what your potential is, how forgiven you are, how much he loves you, all those things are the byproduct of Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The byproduct of that first encounter you had. For me, it was a child. I was a child, but you may have been a teenager. You may have been a young adult, an older person. My grandfather was over 60 when he got saved, and there were about a dozen or so men of his age got saved on that same Sunday night revival meeting. Wow. So no matter what age you are, when you first met Jesus, you received the life of God. Now, we call maturity or growing in Christ the development of that, yes, but it's really the revelation of it. It's not so much that we're getting more and more of Jesus. It's the fact that we're releasing or revealing or understanding and actually grasping a hold of what it means to be like Jesus. I've said before, he doesn't come to us in pieces. I'll take a part. I'll take this part. No, he comes in his entire loving life. To be like Jesus, you are. So let's express him today. Let's ask the Lord for something new and fresh to express to someone the life of Christ that is in us now. And as we do that, we will see the kingdom of God advanced in our world, in our homes, in our church, in our neighborhoods, in our nation. If you and I would just express what is in our spirits. Amen. My dad, great preacher of his life and his entire life. He said, if you want revival, get a piece of chalk draw a circle around you and say, Lord, revive everyone inside this chalk circle. Well, I bless you in Jesus' name. Don't forget, like us. When you like us on YouTube especially, it just gives us more power to go out into the internet. And share this with someone. Thank you for your prayer. And if God's nudging you to give us a financial gift, you can do that through the notes below. We love you guys, and we'll see you in the morning. God bless.